Hello, I'm CM Conway, the filmmaker of the witty and poignant indie, How to Successfully Fail in Hollywood, now on Prime Video, and funnyfailurefilm.com. On this now monthly podcast, we celebrate funny flubs, bodacious blunders, and miraculous missteps that happen to us as artists. So hone your funny bone and let's get started. Hello and welcome to our podcast, inspired by our diverse, heartfelt indie How to Successfully Fail in Hollywood, a fun quintessential how not to guide to the entertainment capital of the world, while following best friends Ellie and Ben and their revolutionary adventures through friendship and self-discovery and how to look failure dead in the eye and laugh. And that's what we try to do on this show. So if you're an artist and you've had a mishap that's happened in your creative journey and you would like to share it on our show, please visit funnyfailurefilm.com and click on Share Your Story. Today's story is Chapter 5 of The Story of My Life by Helen Keller. This is an autobiography of Helen, who was deaf and blind, and her book was published in 1902 and 1903. She was a writer, activist, and advocate. Helen's story has been adapted for plays and movies, including The Miracle Worker, which detailed the beautiful relationship between her and her teacher, Anne Sullivan. We've also featured other chapters of this book on this show. This story is performed by George Cooney and is a LibriVox recording in the public domain.
I recall many incidents of the summer of 1887 that followed my soul's sudden awakening. I did nothing but explore with my hands and learn the name of every object that I touched. And the more I handled things and learned their names and uses, the more joyous and confident grew my sense of kinship with the rest of the world. When the time of daisies and buttercups came, Miss Sullivan took me by the hand across the fields, where men were preparing the earth for the seed, to the banks of the Tennessee River. And there, sitting on the warm grass, I had my first lessons in the beneficence of nature. I learned how the sun and the rain make to grow out of the ground every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. How birds build their nests and live and thrive from land to land. How the squirrel, the deer, the lion, and every other creature finds food and shelter. As my knowledge of things grew, I felt more and more the delight of the world I was in. Long before I learned to do a sum in arithmetic or describe the shape of the earth, Miss Sullivan had taught me to find beauty in the fragrant woods, in every blade of grass, and in the curves and dimples of my baby sister's hand. She linked my earliest thoughts with nature and made me feel that birds and flowers and I were happy peers. But about this time I had an experience which taught me that nature is not always kind. One day, my teacher and I were returning from a long ramble. The morning had been fine, but it was growing warm and sultry when at last we turned our faces homeward. Two or three times we stopped to rest under a tree by the wayside. Our last halt was under a wild cherry tree a short distance from the house. The shade was grateful, and the tree was so easy to climb that with my teacher's assistance I was able to scramble to a seat in the branches. It was so cool up in the tree that Miss Sullivan proposed that we have our luncheon there. I promised to keep still while she went to the house to fetch it. Suddenly, a change passed over the tree. All the sun's warmth left the air. I knew the sky was black, because all the heat, which meant light to me, had died out of the atmosphere. A strange odor came up from the earth. I knew it. It was the odor that always precedes a thunderstorm, and a nameless fear clutched at my heart. I felt absolutely alone, cut off from my friends and the firm earth. The immense, the unknown, enfolded me. I remained still and expectant. A chilling terror crept over me. I longed for my teacher's return, but above all things I wanted to get down from that tree. There was a moment of sinister silence, then a multitudinous stirring of the leaves. A shiver ran through the tree, and the wind sent forth a blast that would have knocked me off had I not clung to the branch with might and main. The tree swayed and strained, the small twigs snapped and fell about me in showers. A wild impulse to jump seized me, but terror held me fast. I crouched down in the fork of the tree. The branches lashed about me. I felt the intermittent jarring that came now and then, as if something heavy had fallen and the shock had travelled up till it reached the limb I sat on. It worked my suspense up to the highest point, and just as I was thinking the tree and I should fall together, my teacher seized my hand and helped me down. I clung to her, trembling with joy to feel the earth under my feet once more. I had learned a new lesson. That nature wages open war against her children, and under softest touch hides treacherous claws. After this experience, it was a long time before I climbed another tree. The mere thought filled me with terror. It was the sweet allurement of the mimosa tree in full bloom that finally overcame my fears. One beautiful spring morning, when I was alone in the summer house, reading, I became aware of a wonderful, subtle fragrance in the air. I started up and instinctively stretched out my hands. It seemed as if the spirit of spring had passed through the summer house. "What is it?" I asked, and the next minute I recognized the odor of the mimosa blossoms. I felt my way to the end of the garden, knowing that the mimosa tree was near the fence at the turn of the path. Yes, there it was, all quivering in the warm sunshine, its blossom-laden branches almost touching the long grass. Was there ever anything so exquisitely beautiful in the world before? Its delicate blossoms shrank from the slightest earthly touch. It seemed as if a tree of paradise had been transplanted to earth. I made my way through a shower of petals to the great trunk and for 1 minute stood irresolute. Then, putting my foot in the broad space between the forked branches, I pulled myself up into the tree. I had some difficulty in holding on, for the branches were very large and the bark hurt my hands. But I had a delicious sense that I was doing something unusual and wonderful, so I kept on climbing higher and higher until I reached a little seat which somebody had built there so long ago that it had grown part of the tree itself. I sat there for a long, long time, feeling like a fairy on a rosy cloud. After that, I spent many happy hours in my tree of paradise, thinking fair thoughts and dreaming bright dreams.
Helen's story is a visceral account of coming face to face with nature, often in our artistic pursuits and endeavors. We tap all sorts of elements for inspiration, including nature, our senses, and our sensorial experiences. Helen's experience is an illuminating allegory of coming up against one of the strongest elements in the world and persevering and finding a way to overcome a fear. We can take many insights from Helen's experiences. For as a woman who was both blind and deaf, her ability to see the world in her unique way creates a blueprint for us to use our senses and experiences in a myriad of ways to overcome our own fears in art and in life. Thank you for joining us in the How to Successfully Fail in Hollywood podcast. Copyright by Showstoppers and funnyfailurefilm.com. Intro and outro song, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, by David Mumford. Until next time, remember, mistakes makes art more interesting.